Now, whenever I speak or wherever I speak or to whom I speak, I tweak my message. So it won't be gory. Don't worry about that. But when I speak at farm safety meetings, I make it as gory as possible. I want to send a message. I can only stand so long, so I may have to sit on something. But I'll try. I'll try. All right. Fortunately, I've had trouble with my prosthetic. They're upgrading my socket, is what they call, where my stump goes into. And, of course, I'm building a cottage, so I'm sweating and working hard, climbing ladders and putting a lot of strain on everything. And I'm hurting bad. But you know what? Today it feels good. It feels real good. So, my message. Oh, first of all, I'm really blessed to be here. You know, when you speak, you try and bless other people, but you are blessed yourself. And I'm glad that that Les and Ernest can spend some time with their families. So, okay, this is my message. This is a story about how our Heavenly Father helped one of His children. It reminds us of the sovereignty of God and how He is in control and He has purpose for everything. 2 years ago, like Harvey said, I was horribly hurt in a farm accident. In a millisecond, less than that, my body was broken, totally broken. PTO shaft caught me, caught my clothes, and that was the end of it. And I've been farming for 33 years, and I'm smart about safety, but I was working in Guelph at the time, so I was commuting and 3 hours of there and back, and it gets to you. So Dad and I tried to farm a little bit during the week so we didn't have to do it all on the weekend, and this was one of those occasions. So I was pretty tired, but anyways, it happened. So after the dust settled, I saw that my leg was missing. Just my tibia was sticking out. It was quite the scene. But I was awake for everything. Keep that in mind. So I wanted to take stock of the situation. What did I have and what didn't I have? And, okay, leg's gone. My other leg is that way. And my arm is, I don't know where it was. And I could see this one. So, okay, take stock. I started breathing. Could I breathe? Like, I wanted to know how bad I was. So I remember breathing, and it hurt. But later I found that I had broken ribs, so that's why. And I remember checking everything in my head. Like, I wanted to make sure that my brains weren't out, my guts weren't out. Like, I wanted to make sure things were, how was I? And then I thought of my family, just sitting there behind the tractor. Everything's going. My stuff is on the PTO shaft going like this. And it was great. And I was scared, actually. A little bit scared of that. So I was naked. It threw me out naked. Took everything off me except for the collar of my T-shirt. So the PTO was right here by my ear. And I took it off. I remember taking it with this hand, taking it off and throwing it away because I didn't want to get caught again. I wouldn't have, but that was my thought. So, I thought of my family. And after checking myself out, I decided that it was worth it. I had enough to go for it. Can you imagine saying that, how profound that is? Like, it can be said in some sports situations or climbing Mount Everest, you know. But this was regarding my life. I had enough to go for it. I prayed to God to save me again. Save me from this situation and give me the strength to get out of here, get out of Dodge. And at that moment, I felt close, very close to God. Like, I'm not one that raises his hands or anything like that. It's just, that's not in me. I just know God is in me, and I'm kind of quiet about how I feel and how I show it, I guess. But that moment, holy smokes, he was. I was a total, I don't normally cry, but, okay. I was at total peace, had no pain. Everything's broken, eh? Gone. I had no pain. And then suddenly, with all my appendages broken, everything's broken, okay, and other things, I felt this strength come upon me, and I was able to move. Before that, I couldn't. And then, bang, I could move. So I started struggling. And this hand was broken, but I still could use it. Grabbing hold of the three-point hitch, which is sticking out. Grabbing it, and it didn't work. And grabbing the tread on the tires, because I'm at the back of the tractor at this point. So I was able to duck around the three-point hitch, and I got out. I got out. I had to get out, because it was the only way to be found. I was hidden, buried behind the tractor. So I knew I had to get out. Okay, when I started moving it, I felt I wanted to go to the house. That was my first thought. I have to get to the house, because that's where safety is. And the people I love are in there. Some of them anyways. It's like a cat when it gets run over or cut up or something. It goes to the house if it can. You see that on the farm a few times. Now, I don't believe in luck, and it bothers me when someone says, good luck today, or something like that, or you'll have good luck in the future. I don't like that. I quickly convert it to blessings. Blessings. I believe in miracles and blessings from our Heavenly Father. Well, that day it would take several miraculous events to secure my life. It was like dominoes. They were standing up and they all had the goal, and if any one of them didn't happen or occur, I wouldn't have made it. It was that close. So first, the power takeoff shaft threw me out half a turn. So everything happened to me and just boink. If you go all the way around, you die. Just 100% of the time, you die, because there's the hitch on the tractor, the drawbar, and it's always about that high off the power takeoff, and you don't fit in there. So, but it threw me out halfway. Boink. Okay, that was good. And it left me in a perfect position. Like, I was just, like, the three-point hitch is there. It could have bonked me out on it, which is a steel, and it's upright like that. It would have hurt. It would have been damaging. Could have threw me out on the head. Could have done a whole lot of things, but it sat me down just in a perfect, beautiful sitting position, right between the power takeoff, going boom, boom, with my stuff, and the three-point hitch here. Like, you couldn't ask for it any better than that. So even with a broken hand, keep in mind, I was able to get out of there so I could be seen. I was working with Dad. We were moving a little building, so I was multitasking. So I was doing that and cleaning out the sprayer. That's where all the action happens. So I was going back and forth, and that's a no-no on the farm. I'm bad at that, but try and save time, right? Be more productive. So Dad came looking for me, and the poor man, he's walking down, and he sees a white blob of meat and bones. That's all I was in the lane beside the tractor. And the poor man, he told me later that he just thought I was dead. So I felt this hand. I felt this hand touch me here. So then he ran to the house, and he's got Parkinson's really bad, and he ran to the house. Phone 911. Told Donna. And then the next nice little domino was Donna was home after 8 hours. She works at the hospital, nurse there. And it should have been a 12-hour shift, but she was home. So she found out. She come running out there. And, of course, I'm in shock and blood everywhere. And so she, you know, helped me. She did her thing, what nurses do. So that was good. The ambulance, it raced to here, to our farm. You know, it was there, it was available, and it came fast. I was told later by someone in town, they've never seen it go out of town so fast. That was great. And then it took me to back to the hospital, where I received 8 liters of blood. Well, a whole lot more, but I was short 8 liters of blood. You only own 12. So I was way down on the dipstick. Way down. The 911 dispatch lady, I met her in the hospital. That was another story, but it was a blessing. She believed, Dad, that there was a problem. Like, they get crank calls by the dozens, the dispatch people. It's just jerks, dumb people wanting some attention. That's all it is. But she, so they have to decipher what's true and what isn't. And she just knew that Dad was telling the truth. So she pushed the button for the helicopter. And that doesn't happen very often. So it flew like crazy here and took me back. And that's when I was done. I was unconscious at that time and stopped breathing. And like my voice has changed. I don't know, maybe I got a better singing voice. I'm not sure. But they ran the ventilator down and that kept me going. So, like, there were 8 miraculous events that all worked. So anyways, one could ask, why did this happen to a believer? After all, we pray daily for the hedge of protection, you know, over our families and others. You know, it's an honest question, and I was asked it. Mm-hmm. You got to be, as believers, you got to be prepared to defend yourself sometimes. Well, the fact is, it happened. So now we look to God for guidance and strength. James 1:13 tells us clearly that God does not test any man. So, okay, it wasn't that. However, as with Job, we know that God allows the adversary in now and again. Well, that must have been what happened. In the hospital, I got to say, Ernest, I'll mention it here, Ernest visited me countless times, prayed, and it was wonderful. Anyways, he asked me, at one time he asked me, did God speak to you or did he warn you that maybe something was going to happen? And I was, all the time I was in the hospital, I was pretty drugged. The pain was bad and I was out of my mind in that, so I was drugged big time. So I had a hard time answering him. I wanted to answer him. I wanted to say, yes, yes, yes. That, you know, God did. But I was too tired to hear and too busy to listen, I think. That was my... It turned out better than that, but I think that was probably what I said. Or thought, anyways. Anyways, after the drugs left me and I had a clear head and I was out of the hospital and feeling good, I was thinking about that. And yes, God did talk to me. He did. I know for a fact He did. Upon leaving the house, and here it is, I had choice of footwear. Now, this is end of May, but it was a coolish night. I'll say that. But we were moving a building, and I had my work boots, tie-up work boots, or these big, gushy winter boots, you know, that go up to your knee, slip-on jobs. Well, I should have put my winter my tie-up boots on because they're steel-toed and that's, you want to prevent accidents. But I had this big urge. I was almost directed to put the winter boots on, and that's what I did. But I just remember standing there looking at them both. Like, normally I wouldn't. I'd just jump, put them on. But no, I was thinking about it. That's when God was talking to me. He was directing me. It's a small thing, boots. But if I had to put the tie-up boots on, when in that half rotation of the power takeoff, it basically got hold of my overalls and started turning and squeezed me out like a grape. You just squeeze a grape, and that's what I did. I went out like that. So some things were missing, and lots of things got broken. But the boot came off. That was the thing. My socks came off. Everything came off. Unbelievable. Everything came off. So my boots came off. Now, if I had my tie-up boots, what do you think? Mm-mm. It wouldn't have come out. It would have broke more things, and I probably would have gone this way, and I would be dead. So, yeah, God did talk to me. So, yes, Ernest, I know you're there. He did talk to me. Now, this has been a trying time for us, to say the least. And I want to say that I'm not the only victim. My wife is collateral damage, and my family here, and some friends too. You know, anyways, today we remind ourselves often that God will not allow more than what we can handle. And we've been okay that way. We struggled, but we're not crazy, so we've survived it, type of thing. You know, why? Well, he's got a purpose. For his will and purpose. For he... Oh boy, I've skipped a part here, sorry. We must remember that God is sovereign. God allows things, events to happen. Why? For his will and purpose. For he controls the situation and the outcome. I'm reminded that 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you." Now, the operative word here is in everything. Some people do for everything, give thanks for everything, and no, really shouldn't do that. It's in everything, which means whatever happened, however tragic it is, there is something, a little something that's good that will come out of it. You will benefit somehow. That's how God designs it. And for me, well, I lived. And maybe there'll be a life lesson for me. And I think there has been, and maybe there'll be more. And maybe a door will open for me in some way, or for the family. And this is something good. Now, there's another good out there. Facing adversity can promote you in God's eye, or for God's purpose. Remember that without Goliath, David would have stayed a shepherd. Now, for today, concerning God's purpose, could it be today that I'm standing here before you in a church congregation? You know, why? Well, geez, maybe it's to reinforce someone's faith in God. Now, 2 years ago, I would not. You'd have to really pinch me to give a message to a church. I just wouldn't have believed it or thought of it. But yeah, I'm here today to do that. So that's something. I've been asked several times to talk to farm safety groups. Why? Well, God wants me there too. You know, it's maybe to help stop a tragedy, a tragic accident. I was at a Mennonite one, and oh boy, Mennonites lose a lot of children. And you don't hear about it. They keep it all within their own community. And children, they're just running with whatever is going on, and I had them, you know, they were sitting there and they're listening, and then out of a bag I pulled out my sweatshirt and it was tattered, and I said, "This is what happens when you go through a PTO." Holy smokes, there's a bunch of it was an annual meeting as well, so there was a bunch of photographers, news people. Oh, the camera started flashing, and that really got them. And I was told later by several of them, you know, that they're really going to think about things. And even at home, some neighbors that have, close neighbors, they every time they see the PTO, they think of me. So I'm helping them. Well, when there is adversity, and there's going to be, God helps his children face and deal with life's challenges through his word. Through the Bible, as in Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to speak low because I'm going to talk about it. So I'll speak low whenever God is speaking. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Well, we are not alone. You know, there is nothing we face that God doesn't see. "I will strengthen thee." Well, God will reinforce our determination to deal with anything that we are confronted with. "Yea, I will help thee." Well, with God facilitating our efforts, we have the power of a mighty army with us. "Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Well, God will support us, maintain us, defend us as we fight the good fight, whatever it may be. In this verse, God is throwing his arms around us, what better encouragement do we have when we try to move forward in life after a challenge? Well, God is there for us. Other verses that encourage us through adversity are Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And in Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Nothing can separate us from His love. And He watches every step we take in life, or through life. Remember, God has control over everything. God uses the analogy of the palm tree, I like this, in Psalms 92:12. This refers to the bouncing back from life's challenges. The palm tree can survive hurricane winds, bounce back, and be stronger for it. Actually, the more a palm tree bends, its root system gets stronger. This tells me the more challenges we face and overcome because of our believing, the stronger our foundation in the Word and our faith in God becomes. I like the potter in Jeremiah 18:4. He remolded a damaged pot. Now, he didn't just pitch it out because it's broken. Instead, he reworked it into something good. So whether it's a broken body, broken heart, So whether it's a broken body, broken heart, or a broken, messed up life, you can be fixed or remolded into a new love, remolded into a new again love for God, a new again heart, a new way of living or life that's acceptable to God. However, you need to be pliable and believing, or it won't work though. You got to be that to be healed. So every time we survive adversity of any kind, it's a miracle, I believe. In the Old Testament, God performed grandiose miracles, meaning many people saw the power of God in action. I know we had little ones too, but you read about all the big ones. It showed that this was that He was the true God of Israel. Now today, what I call the church administration of the New Testament, God seems to perform individual miracles, like healing miracles and survival miracles, things like that. Now, however, like there's, you've got your differential there, but however, if the testimonial is given, like our friend back there, the word is spread, that personal miracle can reach the masses, and tens, hundreds, thousands of people can hear about it. So therefore, you do have that same impact as the spreading or parting of the sea. I like that. It can reinforce our believing and restore our faith in God. That's the purpose of miracles. You've got to talk about them. So if you're blessed with a miracle, be a good witness and share your story. Well, after 4 months in the hospital and my hip broke again, they bolted it and screwed it, and 8 months later it broke. Now that was interesting. With screws in it, it was the x-ray looked good. So I was in a wheelchair for 3 months waiting to get my hip done. So it was done last June. So I had to recover from two little incidences. But anyways, I left the hospital after 4 months with a prosthetic leg and two canes. And that was my goal. I don't know, when you're stricken with something like that, you got to have a goal. Oh my goodness, it is a struggle. It's a struggle with this, and it's a struggle with here. They're equal. Maybe even worse up here. And you've got to have a goal, or you're done. That would be my my words of wisdom to anyone that happens to be in Parkwood Hospital today. So, and with the community stepping in, they stepped in the second day. Our cattle were gone, and our soybeans, I already had the corn planted, but the sour beans, neighbors came in and planted our soybeans. And sprayed them, took total care, fertilized, did everything. Like, holy smokes. And when harvest time came, I told Donna, if I can get up into that thing, the combine, I'm going. And I needed a stepladder because I couldn't make the huge steps in the steps for the combine. I couldn't do it because my hip was not strong enough. But I got up there. And I said, Donna, we're going. And she helped me. She ran with me. And if a stone came up on the header, she'd go out and get it and all this thing. So that was actually nice. She never rode with me before, only when she brought food. But this time she rode with me for days, and that was very nice. That was a blessing. Neighbors came and helped. They combined too. So we got everything off. So, you know, so if it wasn't for them, the community, and the love of my amazing wife, and the prayers and support from family, friends, neighbors, our church family, Pastor Dow. Anyways, we've been truly, truly blessed. Things aren't perfect, but we've been blessed nonetheless. So today I'm basically healed, doing pretty good, and progressing with new prosthetics, and that is a bit of a challenge. So this is my miracle, and I'm spreading it, and I hope you spread it too, and reach those tens, hundreds, and thousands, hopefully. And okay, well, let's say a little prayer, okay? Well, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for listening to us, listening to our prayers, you know, whether we're totally broken in any which way or at our second last breath. Just thank you for listening. Thank you for helping. Thank you for giving us the strength to do or get out or whatever it is, the problem that we're in. And Father, just thank you for loving us all the time, 24/7, and listening to us. And for myself, just thank you for the special encounter we had together. It was something I'll never forget. Father, just thank you for just loving us. In the special, wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, thank you very much.